Ho, ho, ho. And hello from all of us here at Oklahoma Today. We're back from Thanksgiving and podcasting up a storm of cheerfulness and joy here at the Vault 405 in downtown Edmond. Today on the podcast, we are talking with Norman-based singer, songwriter, all-around rockin' guy, Bo Jennings, who's got a couple of new albums out we're going to talk about today. But first, the Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com. If you missed last week's episode, we also had our guest was from MIO, and you should definitely catch up with that. There's a lot of great products, Oklahoma-made products for you to send to your loved ones and to feed your loved ones and yourself with.
A lot of good holiday ideas.
Yes.
A lot of good holiday. Speaking of good holiday ideas.
Yeah, another great gift for anyone on your Christmas list. Bo Jennings has a new album out.
Yes, a new Christmas album. This is exciting.
That's right, a new Christmas record.
Yeah, so what made you want to do a Christmas record?
I'd been thinking about it for a while, and I got some new recording equipment a couple of years ago around, like, in the fall or maybe around Christmas time, and I needed to just learn it. You know, I needed to just learn what I was doing with it. I'm an amateur sound engineer at best, and so I started recording Christmas songs, and it was really fun, and that's what kind of got the bug going. The trick with a Christmas record is you never feel like making one until it's Christmas time, but it's too late to release it then. And then you never want to sit on it for a year either. So I started thinking about making one a few years ago. I made a Christmas record. I almost released it, but it wasn't quite what I wanted to do. And then I would listen to it the subsequent Christmases and think, that's pretty good, but not quite what I want to do. And then this year, I've actually been four-tracking a lot. I don't know if you know what a four-track cassette recorder is. Yeah. Just the old-school Tascam Blue, Baby Blue four-track recorder. I bought one from my friend Kyle Reed. Mm-hmm. I've just been having a lot of fun with it. And so I'd say mid-October, I started recording a bunch of traditional ones, public domain songs that I didn't have to pay for.
Nice.
and then I had a few originals too, and was able to come up with a batch of songs. And since we just did a digital release, we were able to record it and mix and master it all within, you know, a couple of weeks. And nice. Then as soon as it was done, we were able to put it online. So it was it was a fun experiment to also just, how quick and effortless can we make a record?
Yeah.
And as opposed to the normal cycle of let's record it for a few months, mix it for a few months, master a few months, and then let's spend a few months promoting it and then finally release it. And let's do the opposite. Let's just.
Right. Or if you're Fleetwood Mac, let's fight for 3 years in the studio.
Yeah, that's what's great about not being Fleetwood Mac.
I think there's probably a lot of things that are great about not being Fleetwood Mac, but I bet that's one of them.
Go down the list.
So the album is called The Christmas Light. People can get it now.
Yeah, yeah. It's
anywhere?
Online.
Okay.
I was thinking about this, not to digress too much. I was when you release a record by yourself, there's these digital distribution ways you can go, and they always have you click which ones you want to release it on, and there's always the obvious Spotify, Amazon, iTunes. Mm-hmm. But there's one that always makes me laugh. It's called Deezer. It's like, do you want to release your music on Deezer? What is Deezer?
I don't know what that is.
I always click yes though.
So it's on Deezer.
It's on Deezer.
For all you millions of Deezer users out there.
All of our Deezer heads.
That's really our core audience.
They're called Deezer Geezers, and it's an older platform. It's analog. You actually have to crank it up to get to download from Deezer.
Okay. But you can only hear it on your Zune.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, goodness. Wow. Yeah. And I heard they have the internet on computers now.
It's crazy. It's been coming around.
Yeah, a new
it's
thing
been
for the 2020s. Okay.
When you are – so you kind of talked a little bit about that the impetus to make a Christmas album and how hard it is to make one when it's not Christmas. what was kind of going through your mind this time, especially on the I'd like to hear about the new songs, but also I always love hearing someone's take on kind of classic songs.
Because the album is a mix of traditional holiday songs, and then you wrote some songs as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the real easiest way, like I said earlier, the easy way to choose the traditional songs was to go with public domain songs. Because, like I said, you don't have to pay the licensing fee. There's a lot of weight and baggage that comes with traditional Christmas songs, especially if you grew up, you know, in the church, and those have a certain meaning for you. And then as you, you know, as time goes on and you your beliefs might stay the same or they might change. But I've kind of come to this place where the songs, the music and lyrics, they have their own inherent meaning, almost aside from what the song is saying. And not even saying that I'm discarding what the song itself is saying, but there's this specific time, you know, for me personally, there's a specific time and place that those songs evoke. And I'm usually not one to discard lyrical content that way, but in this case, they have a much more specific, you know, time and place that they evoke for me.
Sure.
So that was part of the reason I chose some of them. The original songs, not to get too deep into it too quick, but I lost my mom earlier this year.
Oh, wow. I'm
and
sorry
so
to hear that.
She was kind of an inspiration for the title track. And it's actually a picture of her and I on the cover. But that was kind of a way, you know, this is the first, like, these are the first holidays that she won't be here.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a way to, as someone that's a musician, to address it head on and just kind of, let's just dive into it. I guess kind of a way of just summoning up that, you know, that memory or that I don't know. That's kind of where that was one impetus for making the record, at least for the original songs. And then the there's three or four originals with lyrics, and then there's three that are instrumentals.
Okay.
And that's something I'd always wanted to do as well. I don't often play piano on my records, but I like to at the house I'll write just very simple songs on piano that are instrumental, and those are the ones that are on the record. I'd had those sitting around for a while, and when it occurred to me to put them on this Christmas record, it made a lot of sense too.
That's great. And this is actually your second album this year.
Yeah.
So you had another one come out in August, right?
It was September.
September 6th, okay. Yeah. The Thunderbird. Great record.
The Thunderbird. Thank you. Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. We spent a lot of, you know, it takes years to write it, to get the songs you want, and then about a year to record it, and then a few months to mix and master. So all that, you know, it's satisfying and it's great when it comes out, but you also want to just follow it up with something else quickly. I've found myself wanting to do that a few times, and the quick follow up as a Christmas record just made a lot of sense.
That's great. And have you been touring that record a lot? Like, have you had a lot of chances to play it live?
We have for the Thunderbird. We had a good run of shows this late summer and fall. Got to play a lot. Actually, all year long, we got to play a lot of great shows with the band. I think the band's probably done for the year.
Okay.
I don't think we'll do anything else this year. But I think we have some stuff lined up for the spring. And then, for a Christmas record, there's really only so many weeks.
Sure.
Of the year
to
play it. I think we're going to...
We should just do a show in like April. Just do a Christmas record show. Just like the beginning of May or something.
Everybody can make this one because there's no holiday parties.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You can make it.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, happy spring break.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Do like an ugly sweater cutoffs sort of thing.
Yeah. Did you have, you know, you talked about those holiday songs and kind of how they have that special place. Did you have like Christmas records that you grew up with that were meaningful to you? Like certain people's iterations of songs or like albums that you remember?
No, not really. We didn't listen to a ton of music in the house growing up. So things that I would remember were more... things that everybody remembers, just Christmas movies.
Yeah.
You know, Home Alone, stuff like that, that everybody just, it's just always on.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas music wasn't something I got that into. I don't even know how into it I am now, but just my favorite Christmas music, I didn't really start, you know, identifying till, I don't know, 15 years ago, really. Wow. But
yeah, and it's really interesting because Norman is sort of has kind of become this like indie Christmas music
right.
thing. Like it's this whole thing every year, like the Black Watch record and all of that stuff. Like that
yeah.
is like how did that do you how did that happen? Like what was sort of what began all
my
of that?
My best well, I don't know all of it, but I think it's just been a basically a collaboration between, you know, Black Watch Studios mm-hmm. and Fowler VW,
yeah.
or maybe Fowler Auto. I'm not sure which yeah. they put it under, but I know Jonathan Fowler just likes cool music and he likes Christmas music, and I think at some point they just asked them to produce, you know, a record for them, and it went over well. And it's a cool thing. They make,
yeah.
they make, I don't know, 1,000 vinyl copies, and mm-hmm. they're just for free.
Yeah, it's and it's always a good record. Like it's always really nice to listen to.
It's always fun. I've gotten to be on a few volumes of it. I think I've done 2 or 3, and it's a really fun process because you write your Christmas song, and then you go collaborate with them to produce it, and the results are just kind of always left field.
Yeah.
They just kind of have a strange view of Christmas music, which is cool to
yeah.
me, you know.
No, it's nice to hear like a little bit something different, you know, because you kind of hear the same thing. Like every store, you know, like you're just hearing the same stuff over and over and over. So it's nice to hear these different takes.
Well, and yeah, and going back to that, though, I mean, at some point, those songs that you always knew, those mean Christmas to
yeah.
your brain. So
yeah.
at some point, you want to hear those as well.
Yeah.
And then at some point you don't.
Right. I think anybody who's ever worked retail at the Christmas season
is
God, there are certain cuts that you just can't take.
I'm just going to be honest. I was disappointed that it didn't make the cut this year. I hope maybe Christmas Light 2, you know, we can finally get the Bo Jennings version of the B.C. Clark's jingle. It just, you know, jewelry is the gift to give, you know.
Not on my budget, it's not.
Well, not for mine either, but it is the gift that'll live and live, so I've been told.
Do they sponsor records?
Cause I don't know. Hey, if our friends at B.C. Clark are listening.
Yeah. Yes, and know, I know they're loyal listeners.
Yeah.
Everybody in the jewelry industry in Oklahoma.
I'll record it as many times as they want.
Yeah. I can't sing, but I love – one of my favorite Christmas tracks of all time is Grandpa Jones, The Christmas Guest. If you've ever heard that, it's a story. And it I only listen to it like twice during the holiday season because it makes me cry every time.
You get two cries per Christmas.
Then that's both to yeah. Grandpa Jones, The Christmas Guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can do that. I'll do that. If BC, if you need somebody yeah. to do Grandpa, I can't really do the voice, but it's a good story.
The song that always reminds me of Christmas is and I think is a little more poignant for me. I lost my aunt this year, and she, you know when you're a kid and it seems like every adult has a thing that is theirs that it's like you don't know what to get for your aunt or your grandma or mm-hmm. for whoever, and it's like, well, grandma likes lighthouses. Okay, so
right.
suddenly you realize that you have bought grandma a picture with a lighthouse and a card and an ornament and all this other stuff. Well, for my Aunt Sharon, it was a hippopotamus.
Okay.
She loved hippopotamuses, and so I just remember every Christmas that we spent with Aunt Sharon and Uncle Andy, at some point, someone would break out, "I want a hippopotamus for Christmas."
Which has a history here in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Yeah, in Oklahoma
yeah,
City,
indeed.
Actually. Yeah.
You might have to educate me on that one.
So, "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas" was written in the 1950s. I want to say 54, but it might have been 56. And the reason it was written was because the Oklahoma City Zoo was getting or was trying to get a baby hippopotamus
yeah.
to like come live at the zoo, and so they recorded this song, and it was recorded here in Oklahoma City. And for the life of me, I can't remember. I did not expect this to come up, so I did not
so
do my
sorry.
Research. But yeah, the young girl who sang it lived here in Oklahoma City, and it's the original. Like when you're listening to that song, you're hearing Oklahoma City.
Very nice.
Yeah, and it was for the zoo, and
very
like
nice.
I think all the
Gayla Peavy.
Gayla Peavy, thank you. Yeah, I knew it was something really cute like that. But it was for the Oklahoma City Zoo to get a hippopotamus.
Very nice.
And so she recorded I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, and that's how that song came about. Now everybody knows it. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer was actually written by my family. No, that's not true. And it wasn't a reindeer. It was a, you know, Uncle Tom pulling out, or Uncle Jeff or whoever. I'm seeing now as I suck at improv today. It's the day after the Thanksgiving holiday. My brain is not firing on all its cylinders. But I did want to ask you, Bo. So one of my favorite songs of yours is called Theopolis, which obviously is about Theopolis and Norman, which if you've never seen a show there, go see a show there. So I wanted to know, like, some kind of your favorite places to play around Oklahoma and some of your favorite places to see shows.
Yeah, okay. My favorite place to play, you know, we had a really fun show earlier this year. In Oklahoma City, we got to play at the Jones Assembly.
That place is great.
We got to play with Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, that's cool.
And that was a really cool experience. And the staff and the food and everything, like, they treat you really well there. And so that was great. And it's just my favorite lately because it's new and a new thing.
That had to be fun. Dwight's great.
He's the coolest.
Yeah.
He's the best. So, yeah, that was a great show. I like playing the Blue Door a lot, but that's a totally different vibe.
Totally. There's nothing else like it.
I've asked, you know, before I've played there, and, you know, I brought my band. And I remember telling Greg, the owner, I said, hey, I'm going to bring my band. He said, yeah, that's fine. And we start sound checking, and he's like, no, it's too loud. And he does the whole Pete Seeger thing. You know, you guys got to – I can't hear the lyrics.
Yeah.
So I haven't brought my band back there.
It's more of an acoustic
it is,
kind of a thing. Yeah.
And that's fine. You just got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
But I've had great shows there too. Tulsa, when it's the right situation, I actually like playing the Woody Guthrie Center.
Oh, yeah.
They have a cool theater.
They do.
They don't have alcohol, though, so it can feel – you got to kind of create your own environment there.
Right, yeah.
So the opposite of that would be like the Mercury Lounge.
It's like a total
dive. it's a great dive.
Places like that are fun, though.
Yeah. It's great, but it's rowdy and just, you know.
Yeah.
I think dive has really changed the connotation over the last several years.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I think more people are not only specifically looking for dives, but a lot of concert venue owners and bar owners and things like that have, like, specifically sort of geared it toward the idea they want some place that feels lived in, that where it's okay to get a little bit rowdy.
Right.
You know? I mean, obviously,
you get that sometimes at the Blue Door. Like, depending on how much beer and wine people bring in, because, you know, it's BYOB.
Yes. It depends on how many bees you bead.
I eventually decided to stop being any bee.
Yeah.
Into the Blue Door. Just because, like, the whole vibe of it is, like, you know, it's all about the song and you want to listen. And I had... another friend of mine, Casey Clifford, plays the Blue Door occasionally, and I had one too many kicked over empty beer bottles during shows, and now I have banned myself. She didn't ban me, but I have banned myself from bringing anything into the Blue Door so as not to be disruptive, because I'm clumsy and I kick those empty glass bottles in that tiny room. When they fall over, that's everything.
Yeah.
Nobody's hearing anything except that. So. Sure.
Do you remember what would you consider your first gig, and where was that?
You know, I can actually tell you what it was, and it'll sound like we were more than we were at the time, but I can explain why this gig happened too. But the first band I was in was called Crew Jones, and it was a reference to, I don't know if you've seen the movie Rad.
Yes, I have
it's
seen
like
the movie
the Karate
Rad.
Kid. It's like the BMX Karate Kid.
Yeah. Oh, that movie.
And so Crew Jones was, you know, the hero. And,
okay.
So we were called Crew Jones, and we were just kind of a, you know, we loved Jimmy Eat World, and we loved all that type of stuff. So this was, I was a sophomore at OU, and our drummer was on whatever a student group at the time that existed to book concerts at OU.
Okay.
So he brought in a band called the Get Up Kids, which is a popular, like, you know, indie/emo band at the time.
Yeah.
And then he put us on the bill.
Nice.
So we opened for the Get Up Kids, which, you know, in 01 or 02, whenever that was, you know, it was like when it's I got to play deal. With Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is all, I made it, you know.
That is so exciting.
So we played in the OU Student Union in the Will Rogers Room.
Oh, man.
And it was super fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was, but all that to say, that was cooler than a first gig should have been for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
We didn't have any business playing. But yeah, that was our first gig.
That's exciting. Yeah. So what's next? What do you feel like is...
So let's see.
We got a whole new decade.
I know, yeah. It's a good time to reevaluate everything, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe not. Just keep plugging away. We're going to... we're actually recording... I haven't announced it yet, so I won't say what it is, but we've got some new recordings that we're working on.
That's exciting.
And the band is in a good spot. I like the band that I have that plays with me. Everybody is really they're really talented musicians, but also everybody can record. They're all recording engineers for the most part. So, yeah. And everybody performs really great, and everybody writes great parts.
You've got some super talented people playing with you.
Yeah, I should just say who they are real quick. Yeah. I have Chase Kirby that plays guitar with me. Dustin Ragland plays drums. Michael Trapani plays bass. And John McCall plays keyboards. And I'm just really, you know, grateful to have a band like that. So my intention, at least, is to document this period with these guys as long as possible and do as much as we can while we're all still, you know, in town. And,
yeah.
Able to play.
That's awesome. Who are you listening to right now?
I am listening to, I like this band, His Golden Messenger, a lot.
Okay.
That's His Golden Messenger. I always have to say it so people understand what I'm saying. They're really great. I've been listening to, I like Mark Kozelek a lot from Red House Painters or Sun Kill Moon. I listen to a lot of stuff that my kids request in the car, so I've gotten a lot of, like, I'm really up on, you know, the Black Panther soundtrack.
That thing is great. Like, it's fun.
Well, it is cool. I have to iTunes the clean version
because
my kids are, you know, six and eight, but I think I'm getting most of it. my daughter loves Taylor Swift. I think her record's really good. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of all over the place.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. You're just getting the full menu. Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we have got some, speaking of something, insert transition here.
Yeah,
we have
speaking some of
events.
Segue.
Yeah.
we'll segue into our events.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, through December 29th, the Wool of Rock Retrospective Exhibit and Sale is happening. If you love art or just have a great appreciation for wildlife and nature, you won't want to miss out on this exciting exhibit on display at Bartlesville's Wooler Rock Museum this fall. Wooler Rock is...
It's one of the best places in the state. Like, you gotta go.
Like it is a struggle. I don't know. I know that this is maybe a little inside baseball for people, but as we're putting together a magazine, I cannot tell you how many times we have to be like, has it been long enough that we can do more stuff about Wooler Rock?
Every
because
issue,
they
do so much, and there's so much there, and they're just awesome.
And we've got so many places like that in Oklahoma, and but Wooler Rock. This is the Wooler Rock retrospective exhibit has an impressive array of works. As you tour the collection, you're going to see painters Tony Angel, Clyde Aspavig, Logan Maxwell, Hageg. You know what? I promise you, I cannot pronounce most of these names. But if you love,
all great.
But they're all, yes. Yeah. You know what? I also couldn't paint any of those paintings. So, way to go, nameless amazing artists. We hope to see you at Wooler Rock through December 29th. It's going to be a really good time.
It's going to be awesome. And also, their lights up there are gorgeous, so it's a good place to go for Christmas. December 12th, I'm so stoked about this, Modest Yahoo in concert. Tulsa comes alive when Modest Yahoo and special guest Bedouin Soundclash bring their fall tour to Kane's Ballroom, speaking of great places to hear live music. Not along as the genre-defying vocalist Modest Yahoo performs his intoxicating lyrical mix of alt-rock, reggae, and hip-hop, backed by a band of fully engaged jam virtuosos. I mean, I hope they're fully engaged. Like, I see somebody back there sleeping.
Yeah, I'd be upset.
Which you won't. Like, Modest Yahoo's great. anyway, in this amazingly improvisational space, no two shows are alike, but fans can hope to hear several tracks off the band's latest studio release, Undercurrents. Seriously, if you haven't heard of Modest Yahoo, go to Deezer.
yeah, just head over, open up your Deezer app. I assume it's probably already open.
Completely full, yeah. Or wherever you get your music from, check out Modest Yahoo because they're great.
December 13th and 14th, Painted Sky Opera presents Amal and the Night Visitors. This is going to be at the First Baptist Church of Oklahoma City. Purchase a ticket and enjoy this holiday tale about a young boy living in Bethlehem who encounters three royal visitors. Hear beautiful melodies while singers deliver the true meaning of Christmas in festive opera form. This gem is a perfect holiday outing for the whole family, unless part of your family hates opera, in which case maybe you let them stay at home and watch football. But no, everybody else.
Make them come and listen. So? You know, I've never heard the words festive and opera together. So I'm excited to see that. But if neither Modest Yahoo nor opera is your thing, you can get back into your Deezer app and open up and listen to Gary Allen, who will be performing at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Catoosa in their 2,700-seat performance space called The Joint. Hear hits like Man to Man, Tough Little Boys, and Nothing On But the Radio, as well as material from his most recent album. I think, okay, there's a country song, and I think it's Gary Allen. It's called Every Storm Runs Out of Rain that I thought was really good a few years ago. But he's been performing for nearly two decades, so if you're a fan of country music, you want to head up to the Hard Rock and hear Gary Allen.
He's amazing.
On December 13th.
He's a good show.
Yeah. Like, I've never seen him, but I what I've heard of his, I like. Yeah. So.
If you are in Lawton, and frankly, everybody should be.
This is a good time to go hiking in the Wichitas, by the way. I was thinking as we put this on the calendar, like, you could do both of these things.
Like 2 days ago.
Yeah, see, it's a good time of year because it's not so hot anyway. Absolutely.
I know I'll be heading to Lawton very soon as we are preparing for our next, for the soon-to-come food issue, because Lawton is a wonderland of really great food.
Yeah, it is.
But before then, go grab yourself a bite to eat. December 13th through 15th, the Lawton Living Christmas Tree. Get in the holiday spirit with a trip to Lawton's Living Christmas Tree. 39 feet tall, comprised of thousands of computer-controlled lights, the tree is the centerpiece of a 100-voice choir, full orchestra, and drama cast. Come see this year's presentation to witness thousands of lights moving in synchronization with the music. Visit Lawton to see this unique Christmas celebration in person, and again, stop by and get some food. Like, there's good German food in Lawton, and good Indian food, and frankly,
because
good
of the
everything.
Army base, they have a ton of international cuisine. That's awesome.
I tell this to everybody. Obviously, because I'm obsessed with food at all times. But if you're looking for where to get some really great international cuisine, look for a military base and then look for the town closest to it. And there
you
go.
Truth.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to Bo Jennings for joining us in the studio today. We hope that you guys enjoyed it as well. Please subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss an episode. Rate and review us online. 5 stars would be super helpful in maybe getting a few more people listening. Yeah. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, I don't know, tips, tricks, anything like that, life hacks. We always love a good life hack. Send that to oktpod@travelok.com. Be sure to visit oklahomatoday.com/subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single issue of our magazine. Also, really great holiday gifts. We're about to see the Oklahoma City issue come out, and I think you guys are going to be very pleased.
Yes, lots of good stuff in that one, including 40 pages of tribute to the 25th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, including a piece by the awesome Sam Anderson, who wrote Boomtown and writes for New York Times Magazine. So you definitely don't want to miss that one. But you also want to make sure you get on your online music streaming service of choice, Deezer or otherwise. Get Bose Records, Christmas Light, and The Thunderbird. And it's going to be a good holiday season, even better if you get that record.
That's right. Yeah. We'll talk to you again next week, guys. Bye.